In this election, we each face a question. What kind of country do we want to live in? We choose freedom. The freedom not just to get by, but get ahead. The freedom to make decisions about your own body. We believe in the promise of America, and we're ready to fight for it. Because when we fight, we win.
I'ma keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
Paid for by Harris for President.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I've had a number of texts asking, what is the story with the weather? We have winter in the middle of the week and then it's back to summer by the weekend, but it does mean that winter is on the way. Shay Lally of Houses to Restore is with us. He has advice on both house restoration, but also getting the house ready for the cold. And one of the things that was fierce popular a while ago, Shay, was spray foam insulation. We were told it was the devil and all, and you would get massive R or U values depending on how you look at it. Now there's concerns about it.
Yeah, the big issue is with the spray foam is ventilation. So when you look at insulation, you also have to look at ventilation. So unfortunately, with the spray foam, it wasn't looked at. And it's essentially like if your extractor fan isn't working in your ensuite and you have no window, the paint will begin to flake off the ceiling. So in your roof, basically all the timbers will begin to rot over time and decay. It'll take time, it'll take many years, but that is the worry essentially. The moisture has to go somewhere.
Because there have been a couple of sources in the UK, so the issue was that if you had an external leak, it could get pinned between the spray foam and the roof material, therefore rot out the rafters.
Yeah.
Is it that, or is it sort of the building sweating?
The building sweating. It's both essentially, but the building sweating is a huge thing because not everyone is going to have a leak, you know.
So if you're looking then into the winter, obviously spray foam is still a very good product if it's installed right.
Yeah.
Are there particular tips or advice you'd say, here's the best way to get the house winter ready?
Well, I think the attic is the big place to start, to be fair. If you look at, say, even just like standard like fiberglass type insulation, it would just get rolled out in your attic, you know. That's always a great place to start because your roof essentially loses the most amount of heat. And it's something you could do yourself. If you've recently bought a fixer-upper and you just can't afford to get someone in, you can go and buy the insulation and do it. You mightn't do a perfect job, but it might hold you over, you know. So that'd be a big thing that I'd suggest someone does.
If you're looking at house restorations now, because an awful lot of people are throwing a fair degree of cash at house restoration, what are the trends that you're seeing? Is it still open plan, take out that wall and throw in an RSJ for me?
Yeah, people love open plan living is a huge thing. BORs is a huge thing as well. Since the cost of energy went up there in 2021, people are a lot more aware of BORs. So they're the huge big things, and it's having, as you say, open plan and almost making that broken plan in the sense that you have a big space, but it's kind of compartmentalised. So you have different areas within that big space, because I think people went down the open plan route and it was just like, I'll say a swimming pool, but just like this large space.
And echoey.
So, yeah, I was going to say the acoustics weren't great. It. So now people are more conscious of that. They're more conscious of how they kind of structure that room. People also love pantries. That's something people are no longer just looking for a utility. I find people are now looking for a boot room, a utility and a pantry. You know, and a lot of houses that, you know, I'd feature in Houses to Restore just wouldn't have the space for all that. Like if you look at, say, a property of two up, two down, a traditional two up, two down, and somewhere like Stony Batter, it just doesn't have the capacity for that, you know. But they're the things that are on the wish lists now. And people are sacrificing a lot of space for these things, you know.
Well, this is it, because a pantry loses you quite a bit of floor space. I mean, it's 100%. Very handy, but it loses you a ton of floor space compared to just keeping it in cabinets.
Yeah, I even think, though, the boot room as well. I think if you were crafty about it, you could have a garage come boot room, come utility space sort of thing and combine it all into one, you know. But people, so they're the trends. Insulation, BERs is the buzzword.
Are people doing improving BER so that they can increase their resale, or are they doing it to lower their energy costs?
I think it's to lower their energy costs, but also to create a home that's basically more comfortable to live in, you know. Because you don't, when you have, like, say, a heat pump, you don't have rads that just pump out heat for an hour. You're going to have these low temperature rads. It's a more pleasant place to live, to be fair, you know. So you're not just baked. And then also, if you have solar panels, that might charge your car. If you have an electric car, you're essentially getting free driving. So people are trying to be savvy and future-proof themselves, you know?
If you're doing restoration, what are the kind of features that you are seeing people rip out that they should be keeping? Because I'm thinking about there's a huge chunk of building that happened in the post-war in Ireland in the early 50s, particularly in urban Ireland, where there was a sort of an Art Deco trend.
Mm.
And an awful lot of that gets ripped out and binned. Are they right to rip it out and bin? Or in 20 years, will we say, God, that was a travesty. There was lovely stuff there.
I think if you look around, like, say, places like Merrion Square, where they built the ESB, always get that EBS, ESB, the ESB headquarters there. I think, like, people always look at that as a big, big shame that that was done back in the 60s, you know? So I think you're right, Anton. I think people will look and say, God, why did we do that? And I think a lot of people are going backwards now and they're looking to reinstate things like nice coving and centrepieces and stuff and, say, Georgian and Victorian houses. I think people are more aware of that, and I think people who are buying those houses are buying it for those reasons because they like those features. So, yeah, that'd be the thing for me. And some people then, they try and buy some houses and just turn it into an open plan space. It just doesn't quite work. You know, they weren't designed to be like that, you know. So, yeah, that'd be my take on that as to what people are doing.
If you're looking to do a renovation or improvements on the house, the planning, let's say you decide, okay, I want to pull the trigger on this. How long is the lead time before you'd actually be able to start works?
I'd be saying to anyone, a minimum of 6 months, provided you have an architect lined up. Getting an architect is nearly a bigger challenge at the moment than getting a builder. Because a lot
they're so busy.
Yeah, just a lot of architects. They're small practices, so they get a couple of projects in and then they're booked out, basically, you know. So you could be waiting 3 months for an architect, and then by the time the architect comes along, if you need planning permission, it's a different conversation again. If you don't need planning, you could be waiting for 3 months for your architect, and then 3 months to basically get all your plans and whatever, and then put the project out to tender. So you could be essentially waiting 6 or 7 months before you go to site, you know. So I think the big thing is having a realistic timeline. So if you're looking to do work in your property, say in January, I'd be saying you're too late. If you're looking to get going at it now, you're probably looking at March or April time at the earliest.
Now, I know there will be people who are listening saying, go away with your architect. If you get a half-decent builder and you say, listen, this is what I want to do, he'll do all of the plans and it's him who's going to be building it or her is going to be building it anyway. So why do you need another person involved?
I think the architect capitalises on the money you give the builder, I have to say. Whenever you see something like a good architect does, it's always mind-blowing and you wonder just how they fit things in and how they do things. They capitalise on the light, the functionality and the flow, and they get little things in like the pantry or the utility space that we're talking about that you or I who aren't designers or a builder who isn't a designer just doesn't see, whereas they just see it in their heads because that's their expertise. So if you're going to stay in a house long term and you're looking at spending anywhere north of 100 grand on a house, I think somebody will be mad not to engage with an architect, I have to say.
Do you not end up where the trade say, some architect with notions has specced, I don't know, 36 by 24 tiles for this bathroom.
Yeah.
And my heart will be broken trying to fit these things. It'll take me four times as long. Whereas if you had come to me first, I would have got us, negotiated us, navigated us around that.
Do you know what though? Things have changed so much. Like there was a case of that, definitely. And clients, I find the clients that I'm dealing with, like your work, they're so well informed. They know what they want. There's no talking them out of things. They're quite savvy. They might have the idea for a very fancy tile. They might realise, can't afford that. Why don't we do a feature with that one tile and do the other walls and something else? Clients are very clued in, you know, I have to say. And I even see it on Instagram at Houses to Restore. Like some of the stuff people share with me, like they really are doing stuff like in terms of home renovation stuff, projects like that are just mind-blowing, you know, that we weren't doing 10, 15 years ago. It's at a different level, you know.
But I assume as well, you mentioned Instagram. The Instagram, the access to Google, the access to YouTube, that has to make a big difference because people can do the kind of research that 20 or 30 years ago wasn't available to them.
Yeah, so they have more options now. That's the thing. And that's why they're not talking the builder down and saying, or the builder isn't kind of trying to twist our arm, let's just say, you know.
If people want to find you on Instagram, remind us.
Houses to Restore.
Houses to Restore. That is Shay Lally. Shay, great pleasure talking to you.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.